This is Roland Berger.
Roland Berger.
Roland Berger.
Hi, ich bin Sophia und ihr hört den Roland Berger People Insights Podcast.
Hello and welcome to episode number 3 of the Roland Berger People Insights Podcast. My name is Ben, I'm a communications manager at Roland Berger. I'm also the host of this podcast. Today we are focusing on ability at Roland Berger. Our affinity group for colleagues who self-identify or are caregivers for someone who self-identifies with having a visible or invisible health condition. And I'm very happy that I'm joined today by my colleague Sophia. Sophia is one of the first members of the Ability at Roland Berger group, and she brings a very deep personal connection to this conversation, both through family and lived experience. Let's dive in and get ready to be inspired. Hello, Sophia. Thank you very much for joining us today. And for the beginning, a small game with 5 quick questions. City life or country life?
At the moment, city. Definitely. I love the hustle and bustle. But in the future, in a, you know, maybe 10, 15 years, probably country.
Early bird or night owl?
Both, actually. I work great early in the mornings. I work great at night. The afternoons kill me.
Online meeting or in-person meeting?
In person, definitely. I very much feed off of the energy of other people, and that's a little bit difficult to do in the virtual setting.
Planning or improvising?
My nature goes more towards improvising, but for my mental health, it's a lot better to do the planning.
Okay. And the last one, sports or relaxation?
Also, best of both worlds. So, you know, to do one, you need the other. I think there the balance is really the important thing.
Thank you very much. You successfully survived our fast questions. And now it's a little bit more about your path to Roland Berger and what you do.
I am a senior consultant at Roland Berger within the Munich office, and I'm part of the pharma team.
Why did you choose a career in consulting?
Well, I wanted something that mixed the basically the theory of science with also strategic insights. So consulting gave me the best of both worlds, where I was able to use my education, but also go beyond that and use that within industry.
And why did you choose Roland Berger?
Actually, Roland Berger more chose me. I wasn't aware that Roland Berger actually was as active in pharma as they are. And when I did informational interviews, I spoke to a number of people at Roland Berger, and they said, hey, come join us. We think you'd be a great fit. And I had such a great experience during those interviews and also during the actual job interview that I decided to join.
Can you tell me a little bit more, or the listeners, about your academic background and your career?
Yeah. So my past is quite colorful. So I was born here in Germany near Munich in Tegernsee. My parents then decided to move to the States at some point, where we lived for a couple of years. I also went to school there for a few years. And then they moved back to Germany, and I actually ended up going to school in the UK for a little while. Then I decided to go back to the States for university because I very much like the system. I like this idea of being able to start on a generalist level and then choosing my major once I was at university. So did my bachelor's, master's, and PhD all in the States, and then came back. And I did my PhD in microbiology. So I focused very much on science, with also some elements of biochemistry and cell biology as well.
Thank you very much. So you're one of the first members of the Ability at Roland Berger group. Can you tell me a little bit more about it?
So Ability is really a support group for individuals who identify as being disabled or being a person with disabilities, as well as those people who care for those who are disabled or chronically ill. So that's a big part of the group. And as part of our mission, we really want to ensure that Roland Berger is aware of the needs of persons with disability, and thereby, you know, removing barriers for people to enter the company. And then also, while we're in the company, making the day-to-day work life as easy as possible.
What is your personal journey becoming part of Ability at Roland Berger? What was your motivation?
So from my side, it was very much driven through the kind of carers aspect. So my sister, she is heavily handicapped since basically being an infant. And she's in a wheelchair, also has a very heavy mental handicap. So I've grown up with it all my life. But also having kind of experienced her disability, I've also come into contact with other people at varying degrees of disability, whether it is a physical handicap or also mental handicaps. So that's where I, you know, have a tie-in, and I've seen some of the frustrations, but also some very beautiful moments with that.
Can you give me an example how you are living allyship on a day-to-day basis?
So being in kind of a caretaker environment around my sister, I know that flexibility is quite a challenge, or to come by flexibility, especially when it comes to work. So I think offering that flexibility or being open towards that flexibility can be very helpful. So I've talked to other members in Ability, and they've really mirrored that as well. And I think some things that they said is, for example, offering, you know, in terms of the types of communication channels to use, asking, you know, is everybody okay with Teams calls, or is there other communications that you prefer? Same goes for things like at the check-in times for projects, you know, is this going to be in the mornings, in the afternoons, or in the evenings? Are multiple required, or is one enough? You know, just having that openness to get, not doing the same thing for every project, but kind of matching what you do to the members or the preferences of the members in your team. And overall, that's generally a very inclusive way to operate, not just for people with disabilities, but I think for, you know, everybody.
Do you think disabilities can also become enablers?
Yes, absolutely. From what I've experienced with some of my colleagues who've come out with either ADHD or, let's say, other neurodivergence, the reason it's called neurodivergence is because their brain is wired differently. And so they have very different approaches to problems. They see things from a different angle. So when I've worked with people who are neurodivergent, they often come with really helpful insights or really great questions saying, hey, what about this? And you're like, I've never thought about that. So that can really round out a lot of areas and help you kind of see a more complete picture. I'm also always very impressed with how those team members also handle stress. I think through dealing with a disability, you often have to create a lot more structure in your life. And so a lot of the time, they have really great time management because of this. I think that's also something that I've learned through kind of from my mom, who was the main caretaker from my sister. You had to be on top of everything, a doctor's appointments, you know, thinking about, I have to take care of this person while also doing my own stuff. So that's, you know, making a significant, like taking the time to do that and making time in your schedule then forces you to really plan ahead.
How has Ability at Roland Berger impacted your approach to work?
I think the idea that there's a community there for support has really given me a lot of assurance. Also, the idea that I know that there's other people in the company who have who are impacted by a disability has given me also comfort and as you know, that support group really to talk about how do we handle this. It's not so much that it's necessarily changed my approach to work, but it's given me the confidence to be more outspoken about the topic.
Can you share a success story or a positive experience that you've had as a member of Ability at Roland Berger?
Well, one success story is, I think, generally that the group has grown. And that more people feel comfortable about, you know, talking about their disability or how they've been impacted by chronic illness and disability. So I think that's one large impact. And then as well, because the Munich office is going to be renovated, and we were actually included in the renovation planning, and were asked, you know, what elements are important that should be included into, new office developments, and what do we see as really parts that would make people with who are impacted by disability feel more comfortable within the office.
How or what have you contributed to Ability?
Yeah, I've done a couple of things. So one, that campaign, which was the campaign We Are Ability at Roland Berger, which highlighted a number of our members, what their journey was, and how you could be a better ally to them, and what has helped them within the work. And then as well, I published an article about burnout and how to identify it and what you could do to help once you, you know, identify either yourself with burnout or other individuals with burnout, because a lot of the time it's other people who see it and not yourself if you're impacted by it. So that was one part. And we also had this really cool video campaign about showing individuals and what they did for their work-life balance. So that was a lot of fun, and I was really happy with how many people it reached and what impact it had on the company.
What would you say, what can colleagues do to become an ally?
I think the first and also really simple thing is just to state, you know, being open towards or recognizing that people might have a disability, and maybe not coming asking your other team, oh, is there anybody disabled, but saying like, hey, if you need a different way of working or a different setup, please let me know, happy to talk about this. I think that's the very first step. And that doesn't only go for people with disabilities, but also if they have any chronic condition, or for any individual who, you know, has kids at home. So it's a very generally inclusive way of being an ally. And I think that's the very first and simple step.
What tips would you give people with disabilities in terms of pursuing their career?
So first, be confident in your abilities. So everybody struggles and has problems. And I think it's important to keep in mind that the problems that everybody faces, there are solutions. So keep that in mind and be confident in yourself, because you already got it this far. A second tip would be talk to people, whether it is mentors or, you know, your family, to help, you know, support you and give that community support. I think that really empowers people, and you can always finish a journey by yourself, but it is a lot smoother and a lot easier when you have those people behind you rooting for you.
So you would say it's important to be a little bit of bold and brave, to be open, basically. So communication helps.
Absolutely. Communications helps. Also keeping in mind that, you know, you need to communicate to the level that you are comfortable with. So I think family is always, and friends are always great for that. But then if you also feel comfortable talking to the people at the job, that's great. And I think most people will be surprised how open and helpful a lot of individuals are.
I imagine I'm an ally, or I want to be an ally. And I have a colleague where I think, okay, there are some challenges and I see that. Is there a good and a bad way to approach it? Because I do not want to make the other person feel awkward and maybe pushed, and you know, I think there's something wrong with you, let's talk about it, like that. Are there good ways or bad ways, or is it just like, hey, be open?
Yeah, there definitely are good and bad ways. I think being open is a big part of it, and I think the thing you want to avoid is making assumptions. So if you are seeing a person struggling, you know, address the struggle, but don't make assumptions of why they are struggling. Just, you know, say, address what you see, and talk to the person and say, hey, this is what I've noticed. Is that something that you were aware of? Is it not? And then go from there. Because one, the person may not be aware that they are not performing, or maybe are not as good at those tasks as their colleagues. So if they're made aware, then it might also click for them. If they are aware, they might be self-conscious about it. So giving them that space to guide them to the solution sometimes help, but they might need time for that. So giving them that room to think about it and showing that you're empathetic towards whatever they're struggling with is, you know, important.
In your experience, what are some common misconceptions about disabilities that you like to address?
You know, you're still a human and you're still living your life and you want to have regular human interactions. And anytime if you meet a person and let's say you have a disability that's can be seen straight away, people are like, oh. And it's like, no, you know, I'm having a good time and you're being a bummer right now. Sorry, can we have a regular standard interaction? Then going hand in hand, it's this idea that a disability impacts every aspect of your life, which in a way it does, but it doesn't necessarily always hold you back. And so I think that's a really big part of it as well. Thinking that somebody with a disability needs to have all these accommodations or like everything needs to change because you have somebody with a disability. A lot of things, a lot of problems or barriers are solved in fairly easy ways, and doesn't need a whole revamp or rethink of the surroundings.
Thinking back over the last couple of years, how would you say things have changed and are there lessons that we learned as a company?
A big step was the initiation of the ability group and the person who created the group, she's now an alumni of Roland Berger. She recognized this niche that was very important, and it was amazing how the perception has changed, because when this group was introduced, a couple of people within the company said, oh, but we don't have any disabled people in the company, which then they were surprised actually how far reaching or how many individuals there were and how many members of Roland Berger were impacted by this and didn't at the time feel comfortable coming forward, not necessarily because anybody was being actively against this topic, but they were so impacted by the outside world and how stigma within their communities kind of impacted how they saw the disability, that forming a group actually had a huge impact. So it's, you know, the little things that leave a very large impact. And I think that's a big lesson to take home with you. So tweaking things here and there can really help a lot. And kind of giving that little bit of initiative really, really helps and can really make life a lot easier for a lot of people.
Thank you very much to Sophia for giving us those inspiring insights. And if you'd like to know more about Roland Berger, our initiatives and the way we work and what values we are holding up, then visit our career website. And of course, do not forget to follow our social media channels. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Ben, and I'm looking forward to have you on board on the next episode of the Roland Berger People Insights podcast. Have an amazing week. And always remember, be the original you.